In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. During the entire church year, there are only 5 days which are named most holy days in the canon of the Mass. And today's feast is one of those 5. These 5 most holy days are Christmas, Epiphany, Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost. Now, what makes a particular feast holy is its connection to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is a most holy day because the Ascension is one of the greatest all-encompassing mysteries of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We might say that our Lord's ascension is the bridge between all the mysteries of the incarnate Word on earth and all the mysteries of the incarnate Word now in heaven. What are some of the mysteries of the incarnate Word in heaven? 1. He now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven and intercedes for us. 2. In heaven, He is forever our intercessor and mediator. 3. As true man, He takes possession of the glory, dignity, and power that belong to Him as true God. 4. He is crowned King of Kings. 5. He assumes jurisdiction over all the goods and riches of God. 6. He begins to exercise His supreme authority over all creatures, both living and dead. And 7, He assumes authority to judge the living and the dead. Obviously, these are not all. These are just some of the mysteries of the incarnate Word now in heaven. This evening, what I will do is I especially exhort you to reflect, and do reflect, on 3 things which are central to the mystery of our Lord's ascension into heaven. 1, reflect on how our Lord's ascension directs our minds and hearts to heaven. This is so important. If we believe in Jesus, and if we believe in His ascension, we have to be striving always to direct our minds and our hearts to heaven. This is central to the mystery of our Lord's ascension. The ascension is teaching us that we who are on earth, and obviously that's all of us right now, we who are on earth must look to heaven. Just keep in mind the example of the apostles in today's epistle from Acts chapter 1. What are the apostles doing? They're looking up. They're beholding Jesus. They're looking at Him going up to heaven. Keep in mind also today's collect prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. Pray it. Because the basic petition in today's collect prayer is, grant Almighty God that we may dwell in mind amid heavenly things. And that prayer expresses it. It says, we who believe in the ascension of our Lord, grant God that our minds may dwell amid heavenly things. So the ascension, again, is teaching us, we who are on earth, we have to be looking to heaven. And again, probably all of you know that this is not an easy lesson for us to learn. That's why we have to keep looking to the mystery of our Lord and the mystery of His ascension. Not that long ago, I was talking to a young woman who's discerning whether to marry. And one of her questions was, well, Father, but how do I know what is God's will? Heaven. One has to be looking to heaven. And one of a very important question in terms of discerning marriage or discerning anything, well, if I am to marry this person, is this person going to help me to get to heaven? Is this person going to inspire me to love heaven? To keep my focus on heaven? If not, well, there's a big question then. Most likely then, that's not God's will that you marry that person. Because our Lord ascended into heaven to direct our minds and our hearts there. If He calls someone to marriage, it's for that purpose. A lot of times people struggle with a grave illness because their minds and their heart are on earth. And they grab so much to earth and to even physical health that they struggle and sometimes even question God. But the question again should be, is this illness better preparing me for heaven? And sometimes you see how many of the saints, they welcomed sickness and even welcomed death. They wanted to get to heaven. Part of keeping your mind and heart on the things of heaven is you have to grow in your conviction. I have to get to heaven. All of us have to have that conviction in our minds and in our hearts, but stronger. And the more you look to the ascension, the more you look to where Jesus is going up. Again, think of the example of the apostles. The more convinced you'll be, I have to get to heaven. I meet people that they have a very strong conviction that they have to go to work. I've got to go to work. They're a bit sick. Doesn't matter if I'm sick. I've got to go to work. You know, whatever happened, I've got to go to work. I've got to go to work. How strong is that conviction in us? I have to get to heaven. And this is the goal. Our Lord ascended to heaven to prepare a place for us. These are His words. John chapter 14 verse 2, quote, I go to prepare a place for you, close quote. Everything that Jesus has done, and in a way, all the mysteries of the incarnate Word on earth are finding a culmination in His ascension. Everything that our Lord has done to prepare a place for you, for me. How can our conviction that I've got to get to heaven not be the strongest conviction that we have? And remember, as Christians, as Catholics, we are to follow Christ. That's basic. Following Christ. So as members of His mystical body, we must follow to where our head is. And where is our head? He's now in heaven. We have to get there. He'll give us all the help we need. We also have to cooperate. We have to be strong in that conviction. I have to get to heaven. Number two. Hopefully now you're then asking yourselves the obvious question. Okay, well, I realize that I've got to get to heaven, maybe more so than in the past. But how do I do that? How do we get to heaven? And this is a very important question. Because no one's getting to heaven automatically. That's one of the great heresies of our time. Take this very seriously. There's no such thing as an automatic ticket to heaven. How do we get to heaven? The mystery of our Lord's ascension gives us the answer. So number two is, reflect on how our Lord's ascension teaches us how to get to heaven. Specifically, reflect and do this. The church herself desperately needs to do this, and I'm afraid is not doing this at all. Specifically, reflect on our Lord's final words prior to His ascension. He spoke these words atop Mount Olivet, and these are the final words which He spoke on earth. Taken from today's Holy Gospel, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, quote, Go ye into the whole world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. Close quote. Jesus' final words on earth are telling us how to get to heaven. And he also talks about those who will be condemned. Jesus doesn't say everyone's going to be saved. I mean, how can we possibly be living in a time where there's this idea that everyone's going to heaven because supposedly God is very merciful? Our Lord's words, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. So what do we have to do to get to heaven? By the very words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have to believe the truth taught by Jesus Christ, that is, the gospel. And we have to live by the sacraments. Baptism is specifically mentioned there. Baptism is the door to the rest of the sacraments. If we just summarize it, how do I get to heaven? I have to believe the truth taught by Jesus Christ. I have to live by his sacraments. And this applies to every single soul without exception. Believe this. This is what it means to believe in the ascension. That every single soul has to believe the truth taught by Jesus Christ. Has to be living by the sacraments. And so, all of us are going to encounter, we encounter, and we will encounter people that are far away from God, people that have a lot of problems, people that are looking for answers, people that are looking for God. How do we help them? Again, you should be thinking, more than getting on their good side, or more than wanting them to like you or to look up to you or to think you're good or to think you're holy, you should be asking yourself, how am I going to help this person get to heaven? Remember, our minds and our hearts on heaven. Well, you've got to try to get them to believe in the truth taught by Jesus Christ and to live by the sacraments. There are obviously a lot of different ways to do this, but this is the way you're going to be able to help those people. Does this individual, does this person believe the truth taught by Jesus Christ in his church? Are they baptized? Are they living in accord with the sacraments? If not, then that's the number one priority. Try to get them on that path. In terms of believing in the truth taught by Jesus Christ and living in accord with the sacraments, living by the sacraments, we as Catholics, this is where we also have to grow in our faith. It is Jesus who teaches through his church. We have to have a great love for the Catholic Church, even though she's going through a terrible crisis. Obviously, we also have to know what it means to truly love the church, because that's also a little bit more complicated. I won't enter into that now. But the point is that we can't just see the church as a human institution. The church is human, but the church is also divine. And it is Jesus who teaches through his church. And it is Jesus who communicates his grace through the sacraments. He is present. It's very important that we believe this. This is what he has promised. Taking the words of our Lord, also his final words on earth, but from Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, it's what he says. He says, "Behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." He promises to be with us. He promises to be with his church. To believe in Jesus and to believe in his ascension is to believe that he is teaching through his church. He's communicating his grace through his sacraments. One final comment, though, on this general second point. Pay very close attention to the final words of our Lord. This is why I said earlier that today the church isn't doing this. Because we've got the other group of people now who they try to justify a lot of things in the church that are wrong and sinful and disobedient by saying, well, Jesus promised to be with this church always. Okay? Listen carefully. Christ's promise that I just quoted to you from Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Basically, I would say it's pretty much his most beautiful promise, other than promising us heaven. Christ's promise follows upon his command to teach his truth and baptize. Please reflect on this. Really do reflect on it. Go back, read, pray, ask for the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, because the context of Christ's marvelous promise is his command, and obviously then our obedience. Notice what you have. You have command, obedience, promise. Command, obedience, promise. And this is coming from the final words spoken by our Lord upon this earth. A grave error today, and this I would say is definitely in Novus Ordo land, you know, among a lot of Catholics are going to the new mass, and it's also plenty present among so-called traditional Catholics. A grave error today is that the Catholics, they start with Christ's promise rather than starting, remember the context, command, obedience, promise. They start with Christ's promise and they ignore or disregard his command. That's crazy. And even if they're not aware of it or doing it with intention, that is a rejection of Christ and of his ascension. And this is the problem. This is the underlying problem when you hear Catholics saying, oh well, since the new mass is valid, well, I don't have to worry. Kind of like saying, Christ promised, and so it doesn't matter if we disobey left and right the way the church has always taught us that we have to offer the holy sacrifice of the mass. Think about this. And again, others who say, well, as long as the Pope says it, it has the guarantee of Christ's promise. Again, starting with the promise. Yes, Christ promises to be with the Pope. Yes, Christ promises to be with the hierarchy of the church. But he's given a command first, and we have to be obedient. How would you react if a married couple simply focused on the promise? Christ is with us by virtue of the sacrament of matrimony. And then they disregarded the sacred laws of holy matrimony. You'd say, that doesn't make any sense. It is analogous to saying, well, we don't have to worry about problems with the Mass. The new Mass is the same as the old Mass, because the new Mass, Christ is present there and Christ is promised, and well, is there a valid consecration? And you totally disregard all the very holy and sacred laws of how Mass has to be celebrated. That touches every aspect, the reverence, the gestures, the postures, the sacred language, etc., etc. We must go back and reflect on how our Lord's ascension teaches us how to get to heaven. Heaven is not just a promise. Christ's truth and his commands precede that promise. And finally, number three, this one will be very short. Number three, reflect on how our Lord's ascension teaches us that we will all be judged. Again, no automatic ticket to heaven, or else what's the point of judgment? The ascension of our Lord teaches us that we will all be judged. As certain as is his ascension into heaven, so certain is it that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And that's taken directly from the last verse of today's epistle, Acts chapter 1, verse 11. And it's also the whole theme of today's Mass, because that verse, Acts 1, 11, the last verse of today's epistle, that's taken up and forms the introit of today's Mass. And we conclude with that quote, quote, "This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven." Close quote. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just one real brief announcement. I put in the back, you can take them. I encourage you to take some of them. We ask for a $2 donation. If you can make a donation, fine. If not, that's fine too. Take the booklets. They're little red booklets that say a Holy Ghost prayer book. I encourage you to take one of them with you, because starting tomorrow, you can begin praying the novena to the Holy Ghost. I mean, these are the great days of the greatest novena between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost Sunday. So that's got prayers to pray a novena. You can take it with you. You can also pray a novena to the Holy Ghost beginning on Pentecost Sunday. You could actually do two. Start one tomorrow, ending on the Vigil of Pentecost, and another one starting on Pentecost Sunday. But those booklets are there so that you can take one with you.